fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jerry Moore here, our third hour on Wednesday, the very first day of March. The preparative today is to stock up on medical supplies. Get a lot more than you think you might need. Check out case lot prices. They'd be great for you and your loved ones, as well as great barter items. We have patient waiting in the green room, my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest now 37 years ago to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Communist Conspiracy. Jeff is the author of 6 books available for sale at Amazon.com. His website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog, where typically he writes 1 article a week, sometimes 2 a week. Good morning, Jeff. You're on mute, Jeff. There we go.
I thought I took it off. Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us, sir. Well, we're into the third month of the year. The winter offensive by the Russian tank corps apparently has not happened. Is there when would be the next opportunity for a major offensive involving tanks in Ukraine, sir, if you know?
Well, the Russians were bluffing in November, and I think they were bluffing this winter. There's not going to be one because we're into March, and this is the month of Rasputista. This is when the ground is really outside of paved roads, and it's disastrous to try to attack along.
In other words, some of the greatest mud in the world.
Very famously. I mean, when the Germans were down there, there were very few paved roads. In fact, I think most of the paved roads in the Soviet Union were just outside Moscow and were in the Donbass, connecting all those mines. So there weren't, in most of Ukraine, it was just mud, and the roads were dirt. And they would turn in; it would all turn into a sea of mud, and it would become impossible to move. Infantry even would slip and slide in it. So everything was slowed down. There were no; all offensive operations would generally cease on the Eastern Front, and everybody would hunker down into the trenches. So this is the same kind of pattern here. They can have artillery, fighting. Because artillery is static. It just sits there and shoots into the enemy lines. So that they can have. But as far as, and they could have infantry can try to do some assaults. But they're in this weather where everything is moving slower, because of the mud, and everything is more difficult off the road. It's very difficult to do anything. The attacker is just too vulnerable. The defender is protected by the mud. So they're going to wait till the spring before they do anything major, unless they want really high casualties. I mean, last year they attacked through the second half of April and March when the ground was damp, and they even threw a lot of tanks onto that ground that got stuck. You know, you've probably seen the videos of them trying to pull them out and how many tanks were captured by the Ukrainians who ended up pulling them out. So, and you had Russians trying to sell their tanks so for food because their supplies didn't reach them. So it's, you know, and some of the connecting roads are still dirt roads, you know, down there. Some of the crossroads.
Right, so, right. Yeah. Well, my knowledge of Russia in general is 12 time zones. Is that most of Russia at 12
it's 11,
time zones?
It's 11 time zones.
11 time so, zones. Soviet not Union quite half the planet. Yeah. Not quite half the planet. No. That the majority of those 11 time zones doesn't have what we consider modern highways, do they?
No, they don't have. They have some. They've you know, the Soviet Union, they started building some paved roads, but it's not the system, it's not like what we have, but yeah, they've been building highways, so they've been doing that. In the 1940s, when World War II was fought there, there were very few paved roads, in mainly outside Moscow, in Donbass, near some cities, here and there, just little bits of paved roads.
What about St. Petersburg? I would think they would have a lot of paved roads.
Well,
like.
St. Petersburg is built in the middle of a swamp.
Oh. Okay, was that done for strategic defensive reasons?
Probably, yeah. So, see, it was originally a Swedish, the Swedes built some kind of a colony there, and Peter the Great defeated them in the Great Northern War, and he decided to make it his capital because it was west-facing, it was a port, it had an opening into the Baltic Sea, and it was very defensible. Yeah, it had, to the east is the Gulf of Finland. To the northwest is Lake Ladoga, and there's swamps all around it. So, yeah, it's really hard to attack. In fact, that's right. One of the reasons the German Army Group North besieged it for the famous 1,000 days siege of Leningrad. They could not, you know, take it. They could not take the city. And it's the second largest city in Russia, Moscow being the largest by far. Moscow's huge, and
I don't know what is the population of Moscow. I don't know.
I don't know what it is right now. I think it has been around 10 million in the greater metropolitan area.
No kidding.
Yeah,
that's big.
Yeah, it's the biggest metropolitan area in this what was in the Soviet Union and in Russia. It's sort of the hub of everything. You know, you look at a map and you look at all the rail lines running there from every direction. it's a very unusual city because of how far north it is. If Moscow was in the North America, it would be in Hudson's Bay. It would be right on Hudson's Bay.
Right.
That's how far
right.
north it is. And, of course, there's no major cities that far north in North America. You know, you got Anchorage over in Alaska, but that's on the coast. That's got the warm current. But for an inland city, it's impossibly far north, and they got brutal winters there.
Yeah, London is just about as far north as Moscow, but the warm water gives it a very temperate climate by comparison. We have these issues that are on the table that we're dealing with and observing. What updates on Ukraine do you have for us in addition to what we've talked about already?
There's not much there happening. I think I said before it's the talk of the winter offensive was just talk. You know, Putin gave his speech about the war for the first anniversary when he gave his State of the Nation address. What was it, a week ago? So, more than a week ago now. There's not a whole lot happening. I think four tanks, four German-made Leopard tanks have reached Ukraine finally. So Ukraine, only four of them, though, have reached Ukraine now. After more than a year of the war, Ukraine finally gets from the West four modern tanks.
Well, four tanks aren't going to make any major difference in the outcome of this war. No. Not at all. No. Not even a little bit. You got a question or comment, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. Of course, China is preparing their people for war. Russia is preparing for general mobilization, it looks like. What I'm reading is it looks like about 2 years away that the Russians and Chinese will feel like they're strong enough and ready for a major world conflict. What do you think about that, sir?
If Russia wins in Ukraine and can roll up the Ukrainians, the Russian armies will be on the border of NATO. And the use of nuclear weapons becomes a possibility. Their propaganda indicates some kind of a whether they're bluffing or not, it indicates, I think, an intention of a wider war. For example, Putin gave an ultimatum before he invaded, and they denied they were planning to invade Ukraine when they gave this demand in December of 2021. They said that the NATO must evacuate its troops from the Baltic states and Poland as part of the demand, and the U.S. must remove all its nuclear weapons from Europe. Now, the Russians weren't offering to remove their nuclear weapons. The Russians have famously kept as many as 20,000 nuclear weapons from the Cold War, tactical nuclear weapons. We don't know in what condition they are, but we know that they have them and they move them around, and the satellites have seen them doing it. So they have, we think, you know, Peter Pry thought they had thousands of tactical nukes. We don't have the tactical nukes even in the thousands. We only have hundreds, and they're mostly kept in Britain. This demand was a demand for us to take the position for NATO and the U.S. to take a position of basically bending over and you know, letting them spank us, basically, is what it is. If we did that, NATO would be completely defenseless. And it would, the alliance would probably, if we'd agreed to their demands, if we'd met their demands before their invasion of Ukraine, NATO would have probably broken apart, because every country would have realized there was no way to defend themselves, that NATO wasn't going to defend Poland and the Baltic states, NATO members. They weren't going to defend anyone. And if there were no American tactical nukes in Europe, defense was impossible. So that Russia would then be able to start dictating to Europe. And so obviously they could not accede to that demand. You when a country that's been building nukes and you haven't, and is demanding that you evacuate, you know, the territory of your alliance members, that's, and then denying, lying about planning an invasion, well, then you know it's pretty serious.
Absolutely. That is how you would know. You're right, sir. Of course, the Russians have a strategy and they keep it secret. They've been bluffing at certain points. And, of course, they do have a lot of equipment and men positioned to invade Ukraine if they chose to, don't they?
The Russians, they have a lot of equipment to invade where?
Ukraine.
They have already invaded Ukraine.
Well, I mean, pre-positioned at the border and have not yet been deployed.
They began preparations. They started creating camps to move their troops into Belarusia in August of 2021. And the preparations were very extensive. I'm not sure if by December they'd seen them put the hospitals in. I think it was January that they saw them put the field hospitals in. When they put the field hospitals in January, it was pretty clear they intended to invade. Because when you do an exercise, there's no reason to erect field hospitals and to bring in.
That's expensive and time-consuming to do that. Well, I mean, you would not do that unless you had a real need for it.
I think I had a meeting with some analysts, and they wanted me to look at these maps and the evidence in the middle of January. And when we looked at all the information we had, we came to the conclusion that Russia, this was not an exercise, they were going to invade. And so it was, for those who had the intelligence or knew how to read a military map or tell what some of these details meant, the invasion, it was very clear the Russians were lying about invading, and U.S. intelligence was smart enough. You know, you can't really prepare for an invasion without satellites seeing everything. So it's hard to get surprised. So I don't think the Ukrainians were surprised either. I think they were pretending that they and were hoping the Russians would pull back at the last minute, and they were trying to be as non-aggressive as possible, not to alarm anyone. But they were ready. And so when the attack on Kiev came, they defeated it pretty handily because they had dispersed their National Guard units in the right places to repel a paratroop attack. And they did. The Russian elite paratroops suffered very heavy losses.
And it sounds like what the Brits did in World War II with a bridge too far.
Yeah, of course they weren't crossing a bridge. The problem was that the column of armor and stuff coming from the north, from Belarusia, coming down that back road on the west side of the Dnieper River, it was a giant traffic jam. They could not make the time that they thought they would make. They got held up. And of course the ground was soft. They couldn't cut cross country. They couldn't use side roads. They couldn't disperse. The attack miscarried in that regard, too. So the combination of the ground, the combination of aircraft being shot down, they failed to neutralize the Ukrainian anti-aircraft positions. They had bombed them with the mistaken idea that they had neutralized Ukrainian anti-air defenses around Kiev. And then they sent the planes in, and the planes were, many of them were shot down. So many of the paratroopers did not make it to the ground, and those that did, in many instances, they were slaughtered. One famous mistake was they'd use an old map that showed a forest for their paratroopers to take cover in. Well, the forest had been chopped down. It was just open ground.
Oh, boy.
And they were with no place to take cover in, mechanized infantry, and armored personnel carriers coming in with heavy machine guns and mortars and just wiping them out.
Well, that was certainly poor planning on their part. We have a couple of callers here, Jeff. First, we have Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Hey, good morning. Jeff, I got a couple of questions for you. One is, do you know approximately what percent of Russia's good tanks and their top-notch military, if you will, is actually deployed toward Ukraine?
Well, that's a question nobody really knows the answer to. Nobody knows because, look, we know they have some T-90s that they had that they committed and that were destroyed. We know they're holding T-90s back. Some of the new formations are said to be armed with T-90s. But as far as the Armada tanks, apparently they were not able to produce enough of them, and they don't want to use them. So they have very few of those, I don't know, 50, 100. Maybe, and some people say it's much less. So, but it's hard to tell because the Russians are good at maskarovka, which is their word for, it's a combination of camouflage and deception. It's a military, Russian military term. And they're very good at that. So, but the problem is that we know that they wanted to win this war quickly, that they tried to win it quickly, that they thought they were going to win it quickly. This is pretty certain. They would have thrown those things in there already if not for that. But why use your best things and lose your best things? I think whatever really good things they have, they want to wait to use if they have to engage NATO or the U.S. Remember, they're attacking a country that mostly has the same weapons that they do. Ukraine is armed with largely Soviet-era weapons.
We'll get back to your comments after the break, Jeff. Hold on, Kyle. We'll be right back.
Okay.
We'll be right back. My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for Hemp Paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, Rebecca, ladies and gentlemen, that was the actor pretending to be Colonel Travis at the Alamo. The speech he gave, the Lion in the Sand speech, was given the first week of March, 1836, a very famous speech. My website is thelibertyman.com. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. You want to protect your vehicle, the exact same equipment, no difference, that the Department of Defense uses. You can get those at thelibertyman.com with a very nice $50 discount on each piece of equipment. We have with us Jeff Nyquist. His website is jrnyquist.blog. jrnyquist.blog. His books are for sale at Amazon. And Jeff, before we get back to your comments, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
There's the PayPal button below every article or video.
Very easy. And you were responding to Kyle when we had the break. Do you have some more for Kyle?
No. No, okay. I don't think so.
Kyle, you got any follow-up before we move on?
Yes. Yeah, I do. So, Jeff, I was got a question for you. One of the things I admire about you is that you're extremely analytical. I really do. I mean, I don't always agree with you, but I do agree. I do admire your ability and your vast knowledge of things. So I would pose a question to you. If you turn your mind around in a sense and say you were for an instant pro-Russian, how would you say if you were doing this and Russia wanted to end this war quickly, how would you pose to Russia to be able to do that? That's first part of the question. And if they have the potential to do that, number one, number two, why don't they do it?
Well, there's no reason to do that if you can get the whole of Ukraine, which is really their objective. See, I think people have it wrong when they think that their objective is only to take Donbas or the four provinces they've annexed. I think that's the part where they can try to make a legal claim. The fact that Ukraine, the whole of Ukraine, is resisting their taking of those provinces gives them they then make the argument, and they've done this. Sergei Lavrov has done this, the Russian foreign minister, that Ukraine's resistance is really aggression, and that they then have the right to finish the whole country off. That's why they've attacked the whole country. Of course, they gave themselves away when they went after Ukraine in the west upper center of the country at the initial offensive. They were going for the whole thing. So I don't, you know, I put myself in the shoes of the Russians, I wouldn't make peace, because I think I can, despite all the problems, I still think I can win. Maybe I'll fail and lose, but I've made the gamble. I have to see it through. It's too disastrous to stop now. And negotiating?
So do you see a way that Russia could take all of Ukraine? I mean, rather than just drag this out, is there a way they could do it quickly?
Yeah, they use their Chinese friends to break down the politicians in the West. The Chinese are in bed with a lot of corporations financing politicians in the West. So you get rid of someone like Boris Johnson, who's big on supporting the war in the UK, and you get rid of his successor, the shortest prime minister in history. And then you get a prime minister who's supine, who's a lot more like Macron, who's not going to help Ukraine enthusiastically. He's going to send token stuff. And then you make sure France stays out, doesn't give anything, meaning France gave a bunch of obsolete armored personnel carriers. So what? You make sure no heavy weapons, which is what the Ukrainians need, reach Ukraine. They don't get the howitzers they need. They don't get the heavy tanks that they need. If they give the heavy tanks, they get them long, you know, when it's too late, right? Too few or too late. And you keep the pressure on. And it's just like the Vietnam War. You win by turning public opinion against the war in the West. That's how you win. And you grind them down, because Ukraine on its own, it's got 30 to 40% of its economy has been taken out by the Russians. The Russians only suffered a 3% decline in their economy last year. Their economy is slated to grow this year. So they're going to win a war of attrition if they can just keep the other countries from supporting Ukraine. And so the Russians are good at politics. They're good at influencing us. And they're, from what I can see, they're succeeding at this influence campaign.
All right.
Thank you.
Kyle, thank you for your call. We have a caller on hold. We got a break. We'll be right back.
Yeah. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, TheLibertyMan.com.
Fix bayonets.
Liam Eden and Nicole Colgren. Many may have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. New panel will be added before the end of the business day today with the audio presentation by Cliff High explaining why, and it makes perfect sense, why Donald Trump proposed and went ahead with Operation Warp Speed. That was to stop the proposed 10-year lockdown, which is what the powers that be wanted. He stopped it, which saved the United States economy, saved tens of millions of people at the cost of several million other people, unfortunately, probably including my daughter and my grandchildren, unfortunately. But I look at that as a good thing, as a good outcome, because he saved the United States from a far, far worse outcome by having Operation Warp Speed and shutting down the proposed 10-year lockdown. At my website also, you'll find the details on the John Moore Ozark Symposium. That will be the first week of August. My guests will be my live studio audience all that week. We'll have great meals, great camaraderie, a lot of one-on-one time, it'll be a lot of fun. Details there. You want to make a reservation, call Betsy Murphy at 636-530-9502. As always, products that will help you. Commercial quality freeze-dried equipment from Harvest-Rite, the Liberator rocket heaters, and of course, Energy Cleaners, my home business. I help people all over the world get their life back with the Energy Cleaner. Details at my website for the Energy Cleaner, the mattress pads that go with it. Yes, I do offer a 90-day money-back guarantee on the Energy Cleaner. The toll-free our line is 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book's for sale at amazon.com. Got some callers on hold here, Jeff. First, we have Charlie in Florida. Good morning, Charlie. Go ahead, Charlie. Is Charlie there?
Hello, can you hear me now?
I hear you now. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. For some reason, we weren't connected right away. I just wanted to call in. It looks like, from what I'm seeing, there's quite a bit of activity just in the last couple of days over there in Ukraine going on. Last night there was explosions in Kiev, which I guess were from missiles or something being launched from Russia, but there were explosions being reported there. They've pretty well surrounded the Donbass area there and Bakhmut, and both of those areas are being taken. There are reports that the Ukrainians are starting to surrender in and around Bakhmut. They've moved a long line of tanks where they've pretty much, like in a pincer move, have pincered off the city of Bakhmut, and they can't. And like you were saying, there is the thaws going on. I mean, it's muddy right now, and the Ukrainians can't move any of their heavy tanks, and so they're like bottled in, and they're really being basically blown to bits. There's lots of them dying over there right now. The rush I've seen, you can go on like Telegram and some of these places and see, you know, where they're fighting. The Russians are fighting door to door, and just, you know, winning. They've moved a long line of tanks to help surround this area. So the Russians basically are controlling the roads in that area there. There was a guy actually that came on and spoke on CNN that he's a spokesman for Zelensky. And he says, I've got the report right here from CNN. It says our military will obviously weigh the options. Until now, they have held the city, but if necessary, they will strategically withdraw. Well, that's what we're hearing. We're hearing they're withdrawing. And then there's also another area that is around the Mariupol area, which was an area that they had already taken once before, but they got in a pincer move too, and they're also surrounding that area. So there's quite a bit going on, it looks like, going on over there. That we probably should know about right now. But
yeah, there's no major offensive underway. These operations are just, this is sort of static warfare. you're using Russian sources of information. If a Ukrainian says, well, if we have to retreat from Bakhmut, we will, you interpret that meaning they're retreating. What I heard is that they could retreat from there if they wanted to, but they were killing so many Russians by holding it, the attrition ratio was in their favor. They decided to stay. That's what I understand.
You don't honestly believe that, do you, Jeff, that they're killing the Russians over there?
Well,
you're using Ukrainian sources for your sources.
No, I'm not.
That is absolutely ridiculous.
But hold on, Charlie.
Charlie, let Jeff respond.
Sure.
You know, you gave me a rundown of things. This is the way you were talking, you know, 10 months ago, 9 months ago, 8 months ago. The Ukrainians are losing. They're lost. They're being slaughtered. It's a year, Charlie. You have to admit now that you were wrong in saying Ukraine was about to collapse, that the Russians had won a great victory. You were just wrong because you were using the wrong sources of information, and I maintain you're still using the wrong sources. So you have a skewed view of how the war has been going all along. Right.
Well, Yeah, it could be.
We've all heard you on here. You called me. I remember the calls.
I'm reporting what I'm saying, you know, what I'm seeing here. That's all.
Right. But Telegram, you know, is owned by the Russians. You know, that channel is owned by them. And you're probably looking at pro-Russian sites. So it's a good idea to look at both and then to analyze what you're hearing, you know, because the Russians are going to interpret everything to raise the morale of their troops, right? Just like the Ukrainians will. Well, so, but you have to look at the objective facts. It's a year. The Ukrainians haven't been defeated. By the way, the Russians haven't made any major territorial gains in more than 6 months. So they've really bogged down. Those are just the big picture facts, right? No big victory for Russia in six months, Jeff.
I don't just look at television.
No, hold on, Charlie. Just answer me this. The Russians have not won a major victory or gained significant territory in 6 months. They haven't captured a city since May or June, right? So they lost a city down in Kherson. They lost Kherson. So the war, just on that, on the capturing of territory alone, you know, we can argue about what the casualty numbers are. Both sides are obscuring those numbers. But just on that alone, the Russians are not really pushing the Ukrainians back in a way that shows that they're convincingly that they're about to win or that they're going to win. The Russians have to do more. They have to pitch another big offensive, which they haven't done yet. And my thinking is they're going to do that in late June when the ground dries, maybe earlier if the ground dries in May. But that's the way I see it as far as objective, you know, analyzing the military situation, right? We want to be objective. When analyzing the military situation, I'm not skewing it. I want Ukraine to keep its independence.
You keep saying that they're losing men over there. I've looked at a lot of resources. The biggest amount of people that I've seen that the Russian casualties are only about 20,000. And only 35,000.
I have no idea where you're getting such an absurd figure.
That is absurd.
That just shows, Charlie, that your information is coming from Russian sources. No. Russians have lost. You know, in early December, it leaked out of Moscow that they'd lost 123,000 dead. So, you know, it's in January.
I appreciate your reporting, Jeff. They had about 25,000. I don't like to argue with you. I just don't. Okay, I just report what I'm seeing. What you're saying. We'll have to call it a draw.
You just admitted that Russia has not won a major battle since they haven't captured any cities.
I agree to that. Yeah.
Right.
I agree.
Okay.
That.
So let's just leave it at that and see. You know, I think the Russians can come up with an offensive probably later than they've been saying in when the ground dries in the spring, and that they could have success. We'll have to wait and see. Let's move on, Charlie.
Thank you for your call.
Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I would like to know is, I've been hearing rumors or allegations that Donald Trump, in fact, is controlled opposition. But I'm also hearing opposite information to that effect. One of it came through an alleged prophet, a lady, who was reported by Stan Johnson. And saying that he was involved in some kind of ritual in which they crowned the Antichrist or something. Now, either he's playing off both sides against the middle, or he's a double agent. Now, what is going on here?
I don't know anything about a ritual with crowning Antichrist. That sounds pretty crazy. But it seems unlikely that Trump is the kind of person that would be under control of other people, but you never know who could be under pressure from the Russians. The Russians and the Chinese, they're like a mafia. They've got all kinds of ties to organized crime. They've got all kinds of ways to try to push and manipulate people. Also, they could influence the way your thinking is. But to say he's a... What did you say? Trump was a... A false flag?
You might be...
I don't think so. You know, I mean, I could be wrong, but I don't have any information. And so somebody saying there was some ritual somewhere on, that Stan Johnson put up as a speaker. Look, you have to have credible sources for saying things like that. You really do.
What is he? There's been other people that have been saying he's
Trump, people are upset because Trump supported the vaccines. And of course, Trump is moving towards supporting Russia in the war. He's made some anti-Ukrainian statements. So that is, but I think, he's trying to shadow his base, to reflect his base. So I don't know. It's an interesting, the whole thing is very interesting. It's kind of an ugly thing to say about somebody without real proof, and having some lady claim there was a satanic ritual at which he was made the Antichrist or whatever. That's pretty crazy.
He was involved in a ritual which some other person.
I see. Was crying. Yeah. Right. Well, that's pretty crazy. I have to tell you, that's pretty darn crazy.
It was an Alexander if during this climate conference. It was a cover for it. They said.
Yeah. Well, see, the thing is that sounds, unless you have multiple sources that can be verified and that the person has really great credibility, I wouldn't give it the time of day.
All right. Another question. Are psychopaths able to exercise hypnotic control or control over people? How are they able to overwhelm or, from being in their presence, they're able to hypnotize people or have a hypnotic effect on them?
Psychopaths have a hypnotic effect on people. I've never heard that psychopaths have a hypnotic effect on people. Psychopaths can be very charming. Psychopaths have attenuated affect or no feelings at all. But they recognize they can read the feelings of people, and they can mimic feelings, and they can try to charm people, and then they can play off the feelings other people have. And because they have no conscience and they don't feel bad about doing it, they can really exploit the feelings that people have. And that's kind of how they operate when they do that sort of thing. Look at Ted Bundy. There's been a very good documentary on him. Very manipulative person.
Okay. John, we do thank you for calling. We need to move on. Our next caller is Pat in Texas. Morning, Pat.
Hey, I was ready to hang up. I think the trolls eventually show who they are. I wanted to ask Jeff, does he know that I saw this on Glenn Beck last night, okay? Biden announces the U.S. draft for Ukraine, or does he? That's the YouTube title. And it says that he said that men and women whose 20th birthday falls in the calendar year 2023 will be drafted. Well, I think we stopped the women thing already when the Republicans went in. And the other thing is, I think in the Philippines, Marcoses are back, and they have made an agreement with us that we can occupy all our old bases there and build new ones, because that South China Sea there. Oh, by the way, China flew real close to one of our planes the other day, close enough to see who was in the plane. And CNN was in there. When they saw that, they moved away. But anyway, territorial disputes in the South China Sea is between China, Philippines, Vietnam, Malaysia, Brunei, and Taiwan. So I think it's good if we're going to have a lot more bases there in the Philippines. And also there's a guy named Mario Murillo. He's on a YouTube, I think it was yesterday, and he is a Christian. He's a prophet. He's getting a lot of, he's with no money at all, getting people over there in California saved. And he has that video that says that we need to be knowledgeable about everything in politics, because he, even when he said the Johnson Amendment, I said he's knowledgeable, because that is what Johnson got done to say that a church can't discuss politics. And unfortunately, they still think it exists, but Trump got rid of it. So,
okay.
Got any comments?
Well, thank you, Pat. We'll get a response. If Jeff has a response, we'll get that after the break. We'll be right back. Okay.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new ease-off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an ease-off drop-in lift?
Our ease-off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the ease-off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my ease-off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff LLC, 417-932-6419.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, down there I'm not forgotten. Look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Then I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray, in Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die in Dixie, away, 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 down south in Dixie, away, 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 down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back. Well, Jeff, do you have a response to Pat's comments, sir?
Well, you know, with all of these different political interactions, you know, there's the effect that the communists have had on our culture, and the subversion of our culture. But there's also just a lot of silly people, people who have not been properly brought up, maybe people who have not the sophistication they pretend to have, and there's corrupt people. And that's always, you know, with human affairs, you know, politics has become very dirty. You know, it's I'm disappointed again and again. It, just when I think I'm not going to be more disappointed, I'm more disappointed at what I see. So that's my only comment.
Okay. All right. Well, I've got about 2 minutes here to summarize your thoughts for the week, sir.
All right. Well, it's the 1st of March, and we made it to this. Next month is April. April's the month at which the Taiwan Straits become more, the water's calm, and it's the best time to invade. But I don't think that from what I'm hearing, China's not going to invade, supposedly, or do a blockade, although I wouldn't count on it. If people remember, I interviewed Mr. Wang on my website of Luda Media last June, and he said they are intending to do a blockade to besiege Taiwan. But of course, the timing here, I think, has to do with Ukraine. They need the full attention of the Russians to helping them in the Far East if they need the help. So I don't think there's going to be a blockade in April. So I guess we'll have to wait and see. And so it's there's these two fronts, Ukraine and Taiwan, that the Russians and Chinese are pushing on. And then there's the economic front where they're trying to, you know, pressure Europe and ourselves. And of course, I think it's going to get a bit rougher here as the year progresses. And the month to really worry about is in the spring when the ground dries in Ukraine, to see whether the Russians can win the war. And if the Russians win that war in Ukraine, they're going to be focused on the Baltic states and Poland next, because that was what they stated before they invaded Ukraine. They want those countries back. They do not want them in NATO. And there's probably going to be another demand made that all the NATO troops get out of those countries and those countries detach from NATO. And we'll see. I don't think that after the conquest of Ukraine that NATO is going to give up anything. And that's when the danger of a widened war may be his greatest.
Well, these matters continue to move forward. We will continue to monitor them and report them, won't we, Jeff?
Yeah, we'll keep an eye on it.
Absolutely. And encourage people to make their own private preparations as well, won't we?
Yeah, it's always good to have food and water put away.
Absolutely. Jeff, thanks, sir. We'll have a great week, the rest of the week. We'll have you back next week.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, that's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your energy, cleaning, essential oils now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Ever get your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless my beautiful county of Crawford County, Missouri, the lovely state of Missouri I get to live in, the beautiful big state of Texas. And Lord, please God bless the United States of America.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.
In a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently